Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato on the phone after the Thunder's 111-107 win at Phoenix. It was another nail-biter. I feel like I should stop saying that at the beginning of the podcast because it happens so frequently. And also a game when the Thunder did not have a good shooting night, but they were still able to pull out a win.
Yeah, I don't even know how to like characterize this one because it was, you know, when they were having that string of comebacks, like this one definitely qualifies under that category. The Thunder were down by 7 points with 4:22 left and basically just caught fire the rest of the way. But it was different in the fact that they did not shoot the ball well at all, like you said, and they had to find different ways to score the ball. And it was, I don't know, it doesn't seem like this game fits into a certain category.
Yeah, no. And when you say not well, they shot 22.6% from three and still managed to win. And I get that the Suns aren't a contender, but, you know, they shot, the Suns shot pretty well. I mean, fine. 47.4% from the field, 37.5% from three. So those are good numbers, especially compared to the Thunder's 43.3% from the field and 22.6% from three. And it wasn't like they ever had a good shooting quarter. It was just pretty much struggling through the whole thing to get points where they could, and that ended up being at the free throw line where they were 20 of 22, and then second chance points, they actually were able to make up some of that.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is even though they shot such a good percentage from the free throw line, 20 of 22, like you just said, like the Suns were 26 of 29, so they did not have the advantage from the three-point line or the free throw line. But you look at points in the paint was 54 to 36, and that's where the Thunder did most of its damage. At the rim, they shot 24 of 32, so just a crazy percentage of those layups going in, and which is kind of one of the things you wrote about after the game. Like Danilo Gallinari, who's such a good three-point shooter, as everyone knows, was 1 of 6 from three, and he had to find different ways to score, but was like very successful in doing that tonight.
Yeah, he really was. He had a dunk early on in the game, and it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, ha, Danilo Gallinari dunk. I think the last time that he was asked about dunking in the scrum, he made some joke about like, oh, well, for an incredible athlete like myself, it was great. But that was the same night that he compared Shea to a young Gallinari.
I'll never forget that one.
So good. So good. But he did that multiple times tonight. So I think that first one was him cutting to the rim. It was a really nice cut and great pass. And then the other one that I highlighted in my story was him receiving an outlet pass and going up against two Suns defenders and getting fouled and the and one.
Yeah, clearly the game plan for the Thunder, I mean, they surely they would have liked to have shot a better percentage from three, but I think they really exploited the Suns defense in the paint. This was a little bit different game from the first time these two teams met. DeAndre Ayton played tonight. Aaron Baines did not play tonight, and Baines is a better, you know, defensive big. Frank Kaminsky, who I don't think is a great defensive big, was also out tonight. So the Suns, to begin with, were already a little thin in the front court. And like when Ayton went out, they just didn't have a very good big, and the Thunder just attacked the rim really well, like to compensate for shooting so poorly from three.
Yeah, I mean, the first time that the Thunder played against Ayton, Steven Adams just destroyed him. This was last year, and he got better the next time, but like it was, the first time was pretty brutal. And that wasn't the case tonight. I mean, Steven Adams only played 23 minutes, scored 8 points. He was pretty quiet again.
Something looked off again with him tonight, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's probably still battling through that.
Yeah, he had a couple really bad fouls. Fouling Devin Booker late in the game on that three-pointer. And he had at least 11 from the when he was on the floor.
He had at least two fouls on three-point shots, which was just dumb. Yeah,
just like crashing into a guy beyond the arc. So you're probably right. I mean, he also had four turnovers tonight, which was worst on the team. And again, that minus 11 was tied with Bazley for worst. Well, like Nerlens Noel was really good again. He was plus 15 tonight. So, yeah, it's probably, you know, I forgot what game this was, but it was, I think, the last home game. Billy said that Steven says he can play and he wants to work through it. And Steven is playing and clearly still working through things, I think.
Yeah, it took him a while when he came back from that hip contusion earlier in the season to really get into a rhythm. I think we thought that he was back and then he sat out again and then really was back. But we'll see how they manage this ankle. But they also have 4 days off now. They have a big break before their next game. So
yay.
I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna rain on your parade. But I mean, the positives for Steven is that he'll get a little rest as well.
Yeah, it's positives for this was one of the, you know, games where you're looking at the injury report before the game, and not to make everyone sad, but like Andre Robertson is still listed and Terrence Ferguson was still listed for personal reasons. But other than that, you know, the Thunder, for the most part, are nearing full health. So this break definitely comes at a good time.
Speaking of Dre, for our readers out there, readers and listeners out there, Joe wrote a fantastic piece looking at the 2-year anniversary a few days ago. So looking at the 2-year anniversary, you know what that means, right? The 2-year anniversary of Andre's initial injury. So definitely go check that out if you missed it at the time. But yeah, relatively healthy compared to what they've been in, you know, some recent games.
Yeah. Just getting back to tonight, I'm going to ask you to do this because it's late and my brain's not working right. Want to help us unpack what the heck happened in like the final couple minutes of this one?
Yes, I would love to. So the Thunder...
Brace yourselves, everyone.
The Thunder, as they do, just closed pretty strong. There's a caveat there. up until the last few seconds, but went on a run to really get back in the game. And then... Let me make sure.
Yeah, I mean, they were down... I said this to begin with, but they were down 99-92 with 4:22 left, and the Suns were stuck at 99 points from the 4:22 mark all the way till Devin Booker made a free throw with 19 seconds left. So they basically went 4 minutes without scoring.
Yeah, pretty impressive defense there from the Thunder, which allowed them to get back in this game. At 2:17, Dennis Schroeder drains a three to tie the game up at 99-99. Chris Paul then, he's playing defense on Oubre and just knocks the ball out of his hands and recovers it, and Danilo Gallinari picks the ball up and gets it back to Chris Paul, who hits a fadeaway jumper. A pull-up fadeaway jumper on the other end. So now the Thunder...
That was like the one... I thought that was probably the defining play of the comeback. That steal, yeah. And then CP hits the jumper to go ahead.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan addressed that and how big of a momentum swing that moment was. He talked about it in post-game, but So suddenly the Thunder has the lead with a minute left. And it looks like they're going to kind of coast. You know, Chris Paul makes a free throw. And they're kind of, then Devin Booker misses a shot, misses another one. Gallinari has a couple free throws. Thunder are up 105-99 with 19 or, you know, about 20 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams, like we said, fouled Devin Booker. And it's just like this head scratching moment where you're just like, what, like, what, why did he do that? What happened? So that was just inside the 3-point line. It could have been worse. Booker makes two free throws. So the Thunder's still in good shape. They're up 105-101. And then, you know, the Suns have to foul. Chris Paul goes to the line. He makes another couple. And then Dennis Schroeder fouls Devin Booker. So now Booker makes a couple more free throws. And it's down to 107-103 with 14 seconds left. And it's just like, suddenly it looks like it's the wheels are about to fall off. Schroeder turns the ball over.
He's like basically anticipating. I mean, everyone in the building knows that the Suns have to foul. Schroeder knows that as well. So he's basically anticipating the foul. The whistle doesn't come and he just basically dribbles out of bounds.
Oubre hits a three with 9 seconds left. And suddenly the Thunder's only up by one. So it's 107-106 with 7 seconds left. Like you said, foul situation. So trading some free throws. Oubre purposely... So Thunder free throws, Oubre free throws. He purposely misses his second and then tries to rebound it, but is called for a lane violation, although he didn't grab the rebound anyways, so that didn't really impact the game that much.
I don't think he would have come up with it, but it was kind of a loose ball situation, and, I mean, the whistle canceled everything out, but on the replay, it looked very, very close. Like, he almost pulled that off to perfection.
Yeah, he really did. And you had, I think it was Shea ended up with the ball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Shea was pretty clutch down the stretch because he hit those two free throws with 7 seconds left. That put the Thunder up by three. And instead of, you know, just playing defense and not allowing the Suns to make a three-pointer, they opted to foul to basically preserve that three-point lead. I mean, they're the most – obviously, the Suns could do is cut it to one, and that led to that situation where Oubre had to miss a free throw and get a rebound and throw something else up. So, yeah.
So doesn't quite pull that off. 109-107, Gallinari makes a couple free throws, and the game's over.
That was wild. The sequence of Schroeder dribbling out of bounds, Kelly Oubre making that three, and, I mean, you can just hear the crowd through the TV, like, it's going crazy. And you're like, oh, wow, this could be from a very good comeback to an epic meltdown.
Right.
But the Thunder avoided that.
Yeah, because if they had lost, it would have been completely self-inflicted. And Chris Paul kind of addressed that in his post-game and his walk-off interview with Nick Gallo on the Fox Sports Oklahoma broadcast, where he said, we'll take the win. But, like, that could have been ugly. But they did it.
they did it. Chris Paul, he had 3 points at halftime. He finished with 20, so he had 17 points in that second half, playing his usual closer role. But Dennis Schroeder was really the offensive catalyst. I mean, he had some bad mistakes down the stretch. It didn't cost him. But offensively, he was very good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 12 points in the fourth quarter alone, and... We keep saying this about him, but that it's not that surprising.
No, he was, All right. On the Shea had 12 tonight. Schroeder had 24. I just looked it up before the podcast. He's, I think, half a point behind Shea for the leading scorer on the team. So getting closer and closer to that mark.
Yeah, he's been really good. A lot of 20-point games, even more double-digit games. He's really.
Yeah, he's at 19 points per game. It's kind of crazy. Shea's at 19.5, and then Schroeder and Gallinari are both at 19 flat. So, but that's before tonight. So that'll change a bit. But yep. I know I said how. Well, it was on the last podcast, but like to have three guys who are all right there within half a point is of your leading score. It's kind of crazy.
For sure. And for Schroeder, it wasn't just the sheer volume, which was obviously very important in that fourth quarter, but also the timing of some of the shots. I mean, I mentioned him tying it up. He tied it up several times. I think that I can think of at least two, I believe. But yeah, between him and then we obviously talked about how clutch Chris Paul's jumper was there after the Thunder tied it up.
Yeah, there was this one. It was at the 2:31 mark. Devin Booker basically had his most open look of the night from three, and he missed. If he made it, the Suns would have been up 6 points. He misses that 14 seconds later. Dennis Schroeder drills a three on the other end. So instead of being a 6-point game, all of a sudden it's tied. So that was one of those tying shots that was really clutch.
Yeah. And Booker overall, very big offensive push, but he was 0-for-4 from the field in the fourth quarter and just scored 4 points, which were all on free throws. So some lockdown defense on him. In the process, Kelly Oubre Jr. ended up kind of carrying the offensive load and scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. But Booker was just really good tonight. I thought Lu Dort played some really good defense on him and forced him to pass in several situations when, you know, if he hadn't been as diligent, he easily could have gotten to the rim. But he still shot very efficiently to start the game, even when he was being guarded very well.
I had the same exact thought. So when, you know, just as I'm like keeping notes throughout the game, I was like typing out something to the effect of Lu Dort playing very good defense on Devin Booker. And then I look at Booker, his stat line, and he's like 5 of 7 from the floor.
And you're like, what?
Very, very efficient. I'm like, what? What is going on here? Like, but like Dort, I thought really was like bothering him, especially on the first few possessions as Booker started to feel him out a little bit and like, hey, what's this two-way player everyone talking about? What's he made of? and then he got going a little bit, but, you know, was not good in the fourth quarter. And, you know, one of my takeaways was going to be like, you know, Devin Booker is like showing a middle finger for not getting voted into the All-Star game because, like, he's probably the most notable snub.
Yeah.
And probably deserves to be there. I mean, he's never made an All-Star game before. He's in his fifth season now. He's averaging career high in points per game.
It does not feel like he's been in the league that long.
I know, and he's still, like 23 or something like that. I mean, he's still very young. But he's got career numbers, not just points per game, but just from an efficiency standpoint. So he just turned 23 not too long ago. So he was one of the youngest players when he came into the league. So, you know,
yeah, it's
rough for Devin Booker not to be voted in.
It's tough because I think the argument becomes for both him and Bradley Beal. You say, oh, well, their teams don't have great records, so they're not going to get that. Like, that's what's hurting them most. But and then you look at a guy like Trae Young, but Trae Young got voted in by the fans and the media and the players combined. Actually, Bradley Beal had a ton of player votes. He just didn't quite make the cut because the fans get 50% of it. And, you know, his, like, Trae Young's team is obviously awful and he's playing really well. And I think that he deserves to be an All-Star. But then the coaches have their own set of values that they place on how they're going to vote. And a lot of times they put a little more emphasis on wins than, you know, I mean,
look at Chris Paul. I mean, like, yeah. Devin Booker, his numbers are way better now, just from a volume standpoint. Efficiency wise, I don't know. I haven't compared them, but you know, just overall raw numbers, Devin Booker's are quite a bit better. But Chris Paul, everyone knows the value that he's brought to the Thunder this year. He's, you know, been to 9 All-Star games already. Like, there's already that level of trust there. So that's definitely an interesting decision on the coach's part, but not really an unexpected one.
No, but you still feel for the guy.
Yeah, he's not in a good organization now. It seems like Monty is turning things around there, and, you know, they're at least respectable this season, but yeah, he's a heck of a player though.
You're starting to sound like Dennis Schroeder, almost. I'm trying to think what else we should highlight from this game.
They keep winning road games.
They keep winning. This is their 7th straight. And
11 of their last 12, I think, is what it's up to.
And they're now 10 games above 500, which is the best, you know, the most that they've been over 500 all season.
And now tied, you know, if you look at the standings, Dallas is in 6th, OKC's in 7th. But as far as games back, I mean, they're both 8 games out of first. I mean, they're pretty much tied with Dallas at 29-19, the Thunder at 30-20. So, they keep climbing,
and now they get to rest. Like we said,
now they get to rest,
and they've got Cleveland coming up out of their little break.
So they get to rest even more.
Ayo. So you hate Cleveland, you hate Minnesota.
Man, I mean, they've got 2 games between now and like next Sunday, and it's home against Cleveland and home against Detroit. So I'll be polite and say that it could be tougher.
It's kind of like a reward for how brutal their schedule has been for the last month in terms of
17 games in January.
Yeah. How many games they played in such little time. And I know it's been a whirlwind for us and we're not on the court. So
that's true. But you had to write a gamer off of this crazy game and file it at the buzzer. So, you know, not physically exhausting, but perhaps mentally.
A little mentally exhausting. I had to call them immediately after filing and being like, oh my gosh, an entire sentence got cut out. Please put this in.
Stop the presses.
But we did it. There's a full length gamer. That makes sense.
Yeah,
in the print paper.
Read it in the Oklahoman, or more likely, read it online.
Yeah, yeah. That one even has quotes.
That one even has quotes. The enhanced version online with quotes.
Oh, yeah. I think that's it.
That's it.
All right.
On to the next one. A break. Everyone, take it easy for the next few days.
Nice little break. If you haven't listened to the pretty wacky, I guess by the time you're listening to this,
I still have to listen.
It'll be for tomorrow, or it'll be yesterday, but we did a pretty wacky podcast bonus episode on the All-Star format. Brought in 2 very special guests who are very much... There are resident non-experts.
Very funny guys.
Very funny guys. It was a really good time. Good time recording it. So yeah, during the break you can go back and listen to that.
So while there's this break, you recorded two podcasts today to give people some extra content just in case they miss us too much.
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes sense.
Space it out, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your neighbors, your pets, and we will see you at least after Cleveland. If not, I mean, if any crazy news happens between now and then, it is that time of season. We might do a emergency pod, but yeah, see you in like a week.
Sounds good to me.
4 days. What day of the week is it on? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
See you on Wednesday after the Cleveland game.